Welcome to the January 25th, 2009 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Never Ending Creation. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. Oh, I think you can do better than that. Good morning. I still think you can do better, but we'll move on. We are so glad that you are here at College Park Baptist Church. We welcome you to worship this morning. We want to find out who is with us today. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests alike to fill those out. We ask you to just put your name down, put the information as well, check the appropriate boxes, and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask that once it gets to the end, if you could send it back to where it got started, that would be great. We do ask the first person, if once it gets back to you, if you could take out the pages that were used, that our ushers can pick those up at the end of the service, that would be very helpful. We appreciate you coming and being a part of worship this morning. A few announcements that I'll make as we get started. Want to let our children know we are having children's time. So this is your chance to come down and talk to me for a few minutes. Right after hymn number 42, we'll be right down here and want you to come and just join me for just a few minutes. Also, the rest of the regular schedule for today you'll find on the back of your bulletin. Many things that are going on, including our life service, which is happening tonight at 7 o'clock. That's our contemporary service. It happens in Smith Hall at 7 o'clock. Come as you are. Everyone is welcome. Other things that are going on are our youth activities and other things. We invite you to just check that out in your bulletin. A reminder, we have started our primary basketball league. This is for four-year-olds through third grade. We want you to come every Thursday night from 6:30 until 7:30. We're meeting every Thursday through the end of February. The cost is $20, and we will get you to come and have fun learning the basics about basketball. We had a ton of kids there this past Thursday, and we want a ton more. So we hope you come and be a part of that this Thursday. If you have any questions about that, feel free to just ask me. And yes, we do ask parents to stay. Yeah, because we had 16 last week, and I need all the help I can get. So let's see. Next Sunday, we have a special event. We're getting together to have Super Bowl Sunday, and we're having food together. We're having our live service a little bit earlier. Then we're watching the Super Bowl on a big screen, and we are giving away a recliner. Ooh. Yes, thank you. Yes, we are giving away to a recliner next Sunday night. It's your chance to get one. It is a leather. Is it real leather? It's kind of real leather. It's leather-like, but it does recline, and that's the most important thing. We are giving it away, and the way that's happening is everybody who comes will get a ticket, and it'll go into the hat. If you bring a guest, your guests will get a ticket, and you will get an extra ticket for every guest that you bring. Ooh. So you get a greater chance of winning the recliner for every guest that you bring. So we hope that you come and be a part of that. That we'll get together about 5:30 for that, and then have all the food and the live service, and then watch the game when that kicks off around 6:20. So let me see. Want to make an announcement for our Baptist men. We are having we're inviting all of our fathers and neighbors, grandfathers, to come on Friday night, February 6th, from 7 to 8 p.m. Gentleman Michael Hayes, he will be talking about how to be better fathers. This is an event sponsored by our Baptist men, and we want you to come and to be a part of that. Please bring a friend and a neighbor, and know that you are all very welcome to come and be a part of that. Let me see. Have I missed anything? Announcements? We're good. I want to say a special welcome to our guests today. You have already given us your information. We would like to give something back to you. We invite you as a guest today just to raise your hand where you are. Our ushers will come back down the aisles now, and they will be glad to give you some information. Inside this packet, you will find a letter from our pastor, as well as the history of College Park, the story of our people, newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So we appreciate you joining us to be a part of worship this morning. Let us prepare for what God wants to do in us and through us this day.
At the beginning of time and space, God gave us a world.
And God filled it with the useful.
With granite, with gravity, with grapes.
And God gave us minds and hands to engineer the granite, to probe the forces of gravity, and to squeeze the grapes.
At the beginning of time and space, God gave us a world.
And God filled it with the beautiful.
With marble, with moles, and with marigolds.
And God gave us compassion and imagination to shape the marble into sculptures, the molds into medicine, and the marigolds into tapestries of yellow and bronze.
At the beginning of time and space, God gave us a world.
And God filled it with the comic.
With croaking bullfrogs, with the buoyancy of water, and with the duck-billed platypus.
And God gave us, as image bearers of God, a sense of humor and different ways of seeing in order to delight in the world.
At the beginning of time and space, God gave us a world.
And God filled it with mystery.
With living cells and dying stars. With black holes and the speed of light, with human beings.
And God gave us dominion over the earth to till it and to nurture it with curiosity and creativity.
At the beginning of time and space, God gave us a world.
Let us give praise and thanksgiving to God, our Creator.
Oh,
you pray with me? Father, in this place, we are moved by the music. We are moved by the thoughts and the prayers. Ultimately, Father, we are moved by your presence. When we come to worship, when we set aside a specific time to gather as the body of Christ, to join our hearts and to join our lives together in this place, our Father God, we come to praise you. And we recognize that for some of us, it's not an easy thing that we do today. For some of us, the dark clouds on the horizon are coming. Remind us that your light is here. You are the answer to all the storms in our life. Whether we face difficult days, or whether we feel life is great, remind us that you are God. And you have made a way when there was no way that we could see through. In our sin, we were without hope. In our mistakes, in our failures, you have given forgiveness and purpose. And so we come to praise you. We come to do that which what we were created to do. To worship you in spirit and truth. So we wait for you to come into this place. To hear our worship and to speak your truth. That is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Y'all come on down. Yeah. How's everybody? Good, good. Oh, look at, they're coming from everywhere. All right. I am so glad to see y'all this morning. I have a question. Have you ever tried to build something? Yes, me too. And it hasn't always worked out so well for me, but what have you tried to build? Bryson, what's one thing you've tried to build? You've tried to build a house? Oh, okay, a block house. Okay, that a block house? I was very impressed there, Bryson. Yep, Christian, what? Okay. Yeah, dads, they're pretty good about helping build stuff. Well, I have something. I have a few of these in my office. These are plans. Sometimes we have ideas about building, the house that you live in, that somebody had to dream that plan up. And to start building something, you have to kind of think it through, right? Because if you just have stuff and just kind of throw it together, it doesn't ever work right, does it? There's an instruction manual usually. Well, this is kind of like an instruction manual. These are what we call blueprints. They're not really blue, but that's just what we call them. They're blueprints, and they kind of, you see, there's different rooms. This is the education building. This is where you go to Sunday school, okay? And so this is the second floor. This is where the preschool people hang out. This is the third floor where the grade school people hang out. And these are all the rooms. And what happens, the architect, he dreams up, what do I want this building to look like? And so he draws the walls, and he decides how big the rooms are going to be and where the doors are going to go. And, that's a lot of work. But is the building done then? If you just think it through, is that all you have to do? Or what else do you have to do?
Yeah, you have to actually build it.
You actually have to build it, and then you... But then you have to get like the wood, and you have to cut the wood in the right, or you have to get the steel, or you have to get the concrete, but then if you get the walls and stuff up, are you done then? What else?
What about the roof?
The roof! Oh, that's so important. The roof is very important. You gotta also have a floor, don't you? You have to have a floor, you have to have a roof, but then are you done? You have to paint it. What color would you paint it? Oh, blue? Ah, okay, not red. Okay. Red, yeah. Black and gold. I hear some blue. Yeah, okay. We're not going to do it pink, are we? Okay, whew. Okay, that's good. I can go in that room. So, but then are you done? You paint? No. What else do you have to do?
Put the doors.
Furniture, okay. Doorknobs. There is so much stuff to think about, right?
What about the air conditioning?
Air conditioning. That's a perfect thing. That is so important. I want you to think, this building, as beautiful as it is, there was a lot of people that it took to get all that stuff together. But I have a question. Who actually made the wood to go into the building or into the furniture? Where did the wood come from? God. Everything that you and I see comes from God. This building, the ones that you go to Sunday school in, it reminds me of a story. Very first chapter of the very first book Pastor Raymond is going to talk about this morning. And it talks about, in the beginning, God was kind of hanging out. And everything we see, there was nothing. It was formless. It didn't have any structure at all. And then all of a sudden, God said, "Let there be light." And then there was light, and there was day. God put everything together. And you know what He did? He saved the best for last, you and me. He put you together. He knows everything about you.
He knows everything that you like to do. He knows every number of hairs on your head. He knows everything. When you're scared, He knows it. When you're happy, He knows it. And what He wants most is to have a relationship with you. That's what He built the whole earth for, is for you to hang out and to have a relationship with God. He made everything. And then He saved the best for what? Last. That's you. And that's me. And that's the best news any of us can hear. Will you pray with me? God, thank You so much that You love us so very much that You gave us this beautiful earth. You built everything. Everything that we have comes from You. And we thank You for that. Remind us every day that all You want is a relationship with us. That's the greatest gift ever. We thank You for Jesus who gives us that chance. Thank You that He's our friend and that You love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can go back to your seat.
Our scripture text this morning comes from Psalm 19. And if you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close to you. As Jeff mentioned, the pastor will be preaching from Genesis 1 today about creation. And in Psalm 19, which is the Psalm of David, we read about God's creation and His glory. From Psalm 19, beginning in verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure, and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping with them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of God for me and for you. May God bless the reading and the understanding of His holy word. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, as we think about creation and what that means for us and what that means for your kingdom, Lord, it's sometimes hard to grasp. It's easy to look at these beautiful children that were just sitting up here, Lord, and to believe and understand that you created them, that you made them in your image. It's easy to stand on the beach and look out at the ocean, or easy to stand outside with snow all over the ground and think about you creating the earth and the power that it must take to do that. But Lord, for those of us who are a little bit older and a little bit more battle-worn, maybe sometimes that even though we might believe that it's true, it's hard for us to really understand it and take it to heart that we are children of God. In the same way that you created the heavens and the earth, the same way that you created these beautiful children, you created us. And nothing that has happened in our lives has changed that. We are still children of God. As Jeff said, you save the best for last. Lord, this day we come before you with many things on our mind and our hearts, some things to rejoice about, but some things that are causing us to hurt a little bit, either for ourselves or for those that we care about. Lord, please touch our hearts and our minds. Help us to embrace that we are your children. That's a high calling, Lord, that we can maybe never grasp in this lifetime, but just help us to grasp it the best we can and understand it and know that that's a high calling to live up to. Because if we know that we are children of God, if we can live like we are children of God, living in your love, we can really make the kind of difference that you want us to make. Lord, only you know what's ahead of us today and tomorrow and this week. Only you know what you have set before us and what's going to be the calling on our lives this week. Help us to see clearly, to hear your voice amid all the things that are going on in our lives. Help us to rise above the worry and the pain and the heartache, to seek out your voice, to seek the calling that you have for us today and all this week, that we may enjoy that relationship with you as our Creator and as our God, and also that we may take that love to feel all of it and to be able to share it with those around us that we come in contact with, who also may be struggling with the exact same things we're struggling with, and who also may find it difficult to think of themselves as children of God. Help us to share that and help us to make a difference as we can only through you, Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, in Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens from the lips of children and infants who have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, and that swims in the paths of the sea. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, we thank you for being majestic, and we thank you for letting us see your majestic works in our life. We thank you for the gifts that you share with us. And Lord, we thank you for the humble servants that serve. Lord, may you always be with us and help us to have a joyful heart and to rejoice in the gifts that you give us that we may give back to you. And these things we pray in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
depths of the sea. Creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. Who has told every lightning bolt where it should go? Or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow? Who imagined the sun and gave source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of night? None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. Oh, you are amazing. Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. Oh, you are amazing, God. Oh, you are amazing,
Family fun fact number one. My great uncle Bill was 6'11¾". He was 1/4 inch shy of 7 feet. That's pretty tall. He was a tall guy. He was the largest human being I had ever seen in my life until I came to Wake Forest and roomed beside Jim Johnstone and Guy Morgan. They were very large human, still are very large human beings as well. Great Uncle Bill was very, very tall. And from my childhood, I remember always just thinking, that is the largest person I've ever seen in my life. Great Uncle Bill turned down a full scholarship to the University of Tennessee to play basketball there. This was in the 40s and 50s. 6'11¾" was very tall then. He turned down a full ride to the University of Tennessee. You know why? He didn't like basketball. Actually, he did like basketball. The desk at the university were too small. He felt self-conscious sitting in the desk. So he went to Detroit and became a policeman. They put him on the streets, and then they had to take him off the horse, because back then they had policemen on horses, because at 6'11", he was too tall sitting on the horse, and the crooks were taking pot shots at him. So they took him off the horse and put him on foot. Well, then they had to take him off the street altogether, because they realized 6'11 is still too tall. And he stood above everybody's head, and they were still taking pot shots at him. So he quit the police force and went to work for Holley Carburetors. Holley Carburetors had a team. They were developing the first mass production superchargers to go on automobiles. He was on the team that developed that. And whenever they tell that story at family reunions, they always throw in the part about how he had one of the first models that was not in production yet on his 57 T-Bird, and the little incident in South Georgia with the highway patrolman. They got dusted. Yeah, they always tell that one. That's fun. Family fun fact number one. Family fun fact number two, it wasn't until Carson was accepted at Tusculum College in Greenville, Tennessee, that I found out that our family is direct descendants on Uncle Bill's side is direct descendants from Andrew Johnson. And we found that out because we were talking about Tusculum and the fact Andrew Johnson was one of the first benefactors of the school. And Grandma just casually said, "Oh, yeah, that's Uncle blah, 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 blah." And okay, all right. But lest we get cocky about our connection with Andrew Johnson, family fun fact number three is that in our family tree, there is also a gentleman, a relative, who was tried, convicted, and hung as a horse thief. So it kind of keeps it all in perspective for us. We all have these family fun facts. And this morning, I'm going to give you just an invaluable opportunity to learn more about the people that are seated beside you every Sunday. In just a moment, you're going to stand, if you're able, you're going to stand and you're going to turn to the people on either side of you and in front and back of you, and you're going to share one family fun fact, one of those little jewels from your family tree, or perhaps just something about yourself you think perhaps they don't know. Are you ready? Do you understand the assignment? You're not ready. I see. No, we're not going to tell these. All right. Please use discretion. Please use discretion. But if you would please now join me in standing, turn and share one of these. We'll just take a couple of minutes, so be quick about it. Restore order. We may not. It may be lost. It's gone. Yes. Can you all be leaders? Can you go in and be seated? Be leaders. There you go. There you go. Be leaders. I'm not sure we're going to restore order, but... Well, did you learn anything about the people that you sit by? Can you repeat it? Okay, well, that's good. You see, these little family fun facts that we shared are all related in the sense that we all have family stories. And a lot of times those family stories are revealed when people come together and they talk. So take more time to talk about those things, I guess. Most of us have family stories that get brought out, they get dusted off. Most of the time they get embellished upon. Truth be known, they really do. And as family get together, they talk about those kind of things. And many times we have surprises that come about. My daughter just said, I didn't know we were related to Andrew Johnson. So, I mean, sometimes they all kind of come out during families talking. So, you know, whether it's how your family came to America, whether it's how your parents met, whether it's how you landed your first job, how you were able to buy your first home, what happened the day that your first child was born, all of those things, every family has its oral history. Okay? And most often, there's unusual circumstances that prompt new information coming out. So families have these oral histories, cultures, subcultures, even nations have these histories, if you will. Now they get passed down from one generation to the next to help families remember who they are. Remember who they are, where they came from, what their values are, what their dreams, what their goals are. That is what defines a lot of these histories. And sometimes when someone thinks, wow, these are pretty valuable, we need to hang on to these so the next generation understands who we are, you write them down. We're in our 60th anniversary year. You've been reading about that in the highlights. We're in our 60th anniversary, and we owe a debt of gratitude to Helen Howard and those who published our first 50 year of history. And if you don't have a copy of that, we have a few more left in the church office. So, you know, you can come get one. But the important thing is it was written down. It was faithfully documented so that the generations that follow will know about our history. You know, a lesson to take from this is, young people, you need to take time to listen to our seniors. Listen to the stories that they convey. That's an important part of our values and who we are and where we've come from. Adults, on the flip side of that coin is, you need to take the initiative to establish relationships with our children and with our youth. You're the adults. Be the adults. Establish the relationship. Participate in the prayer partner program and other opportunities you have to form relationships with those that you can tell your stories to. It's important. It's an important part of who we are. And this morning, as we've looked at Genesis and we've talked from Psalms, you know, the book of Genesis is stories about our family. It's about our family of faith. You know, who our ancestors of faith were, where they came from, what their hopes and dreams were, what their ancestors and successors and what their successes and failures were. You know, we all probably know the story about Abraham, how he came to the promised land and the trouble that Sarah had conceiving and what was done about that and how Jacob tricked his brother Esau and how Joseph was sold into slavery by his really cool brothers. But how he in turn blessed his whole family in a time of famine. How Moses led the people of God out of slavery and into the promised land. And if you're not familiar with those stories, you need to go back and read the book of Genesis. Those are our family of faith. That story's about who we are and where we've come from. You need to take time to go back and read them. But today we're going to look back at the very beginning. The very beginning of those family stories. Because included in that is the creation story. How God put all of this in motion. How the world came to be. And I'm going to read the first five verses of the Bible. Genesis 1, the first five verses. And it reads like this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. And he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. It's amazing when you think about creation. It's also amazing if you search and read other accounts from other civilizations about creation. See the similarities, see the differences. You know, the faith statement that our Bible begins with in Genesis chapter 1 is that it all began with God. God spoke into the void and into the darkness. It was God who first created out of disorder and chaos. And according to the biblical text, everything that God created was good. It was all good. Every being, every leaf, every bird, every fish, every person has their reason for being. Although I question mosquitoes and gnats. I know they're necessary, but I question that at times. Everything that God created, though, was good. And if you accept the faith stance found here in Genesis, then there are three things I think we need to consider this morning. The first is the fact that you were created in the image of God. Mind, body, and spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We were truly created in the image of God. Both male and female. Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. You're a child of God. You were created in his image. You were not created by a God who just wanted to put things in motion and step aside. You were created by a God who wants to be personally involved with you, and that's why he created you in his image. He wants a relationship. We were created for fellowship with God. That's why we were created, to walk and talk with God, to let God be a part of our lives daily in every aspect of who we are, our struggles, our dreams, our plans. He wants to be part of that. He wants to be in a perfect relationship with you. So the only question left really is, are you willing to be in that kind of relationship with him? He doesn't force you. He invites you. And he accepts you as you accept him. That's the first thing. You were created in the image of God. You were meant for a relationship with him. The second thing for us to consider is that no matter how bad you think your life has become, no matter how entangled in stuff and everything else you think, God can continue to create good out of chaos, even if that's within the context of your life. God can still create goodness and order out of chaos. Let me give you an example. Ezekiel. There's a book in the Bible named after him, if you didn't know that. Ezekiel was an Old Testament prophet, and he had lost hope. He figured all hope was lost for Israel. And God took him into a valley of dried bones and showed him differently. He asked Ezekiel, he said, "Mortal, can these bones live?" Just bones out there. And Ezekiel replied, "O Lord God, you know." That's kind of a noncommittal answer, wasn't it? "O Lord God, you know." And God said to Ezekiel, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you. And you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you will know that I am the Lord.'" Ezekiel found out that with God, there's always hope. Let me tell you another story. Jesus stood outside the tomb of Lazarus, and he stood there with sisters that were incredibly upset. And they protested the fact that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days based on the fact Jesus said he was going to, well, you can go back and read the story in John 11. The bottom line is, he had been dead for 4 days. Long past the point where they felt like the spirit was still in the body. Long past the point where he smelled good. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. And life was reborn out of death. Scripture teaches us that Jesus died on the cross. It appeared to be chaotic. The disciples interpreted that as pure chaos. But yet on Easter Sunday morning, God showed order out of chaos. When Jesus rose from the dead, showed us that there is victory over death in Jesus Christ. In the midst of the chaos of our lives, God wants to speak. God wants to create something good. He wants to offer us new life, life eternal, abundant life here and now. What do we have to do? Accept the invitation. Accept the invitation of the relationship with God. The third thing that I want us to note is that God has given us responsibility to make something out of the world that we're given. You see, God blessed them, male and female. And then in verse 28 we read, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Each one of us is created in the image of God, given responsibility in a sense to continue creating in the sense that we take care of creation. We fulfill our role in that, that we continue to make something good out of the world. God has entrusted to us this world. And we are to continue to make something, to take responsibility for the earth that we've been given and the people all around us. To take some responsibility, continue to see good come from that. And to accomplish that, God sent to us a power that is unbelievable, more than our minds can fathom. The power of the Holy Spirit to continue to walk with God, to minister in God's name, to take care of the earth, to touch the lives of other people, to minister to other people. That's what He's given us. No matter how life seems to get chaotic, remember that we worship a God of order, a God who continues to bring creation out of chaos. And we get these emails pretty much every day of little doodads and sayings and things of that nature. I know you get them too, but I got one this week. It was pictures of church signs. Now, I don't know if they've been photoshopped or not, but there was a couple of them that were pretty funny. But there was one that kind of caught my eye, and it related to what I was thinking about for today, saying today. And it read like this: when you pray, don't just say, God, here are my problems, but make sure you also say, problems, here is my God. You see, we need to recognize that we have the option of inviting the Creator of all things into our lives daily. We're given the opportunity to trust that God can work out all things for good, no matter how chaotic or disheveled our lives get. Romans 5, verse 5 in the English Standard Version reads like this. It reminds us, it says, hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God is still speaking. God is still creating. God is still healing. He is still loving in ways that we will never fully understand. God invites us to be a part of the creative process. The question for us is, are we ready to be a part of that relationship? Are we ready to include in our family story, in our family fun facts, about God's saving grace in our own life? That's the biggest question of all. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we read about creation, and because we are part of that creation, we literally cannot conceive We can't fully understand the power of creation. We can't understand you completely and how you brought order out of chaos and how you created this world and all the universe. We can't even fathom that. But we do understand that you love us. We don't understand why, but we do understand because you've demonstrated that for us. And so, Father, based on the life of your Son that you sent to show us how to live and to die and to gain victory over death, we come to you in His name and we ask for your forgiveness when we try to run our own lives and when we try to accomplish things under our own power and strength. We confess that we're not able to do that. And Father, we pray that you would touch our hearts and give us direction and hope and peace and courage to live as you would have us to live. Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that accomplishes that in our lives. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in whose name we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning, you've heard all about creation. And you've heard about Jesus and the power over death. And you say, you keep talking about an invitation, but I don't know what that encompasses. I really don't understand what you're asking. Simply put, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, died for your sins and for mine. And if you've not accepted Him as your personal Savior, today is the day. You know, He is extending an opportunity and an invitation to you. And if you'd like to talk with me about it, I'll be here at the front when we stand and sing in just a moment. I'll be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. If you're here and maybe you've been trying to do things under your own power and strength and chaos seems to overwhelm you, you can certainly pray and talk with God there and kind of settle that and confess that and allow Him to renew and invigorate you. Or you can come here to the front if you'd like to and kneel and pray. I know some of our prayer warriors may be coming to the front, so you probably won't be alone in that. If you're here and you would like to join College Park, I'd be glad to share with you how you can be a part of this fellowship. There's many ways we receive members. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Thank you for being here this morning. I hope it's been a meaningful time of worship for you. I invite you to come back tonight. Our live service is at 7 o'clock in Smith Hall. And Cindy has asked me to announce that next week for our Super Sunday, for our Super Bowl celebration, because of the title Soup or Sunday, We're asking you to bring a pot of soup to share or a container of homemade ice cream. Ah, yes. So come be with us for Soup and Ice Cream Sundays as part of our Super Sunday. And by the way, the chair is genuine leather, and it features a massage thing in the back of it. Yeah. So, you know, we don't have it plugged up because we don't want it broken before the before we give it away. Glad to see you this morning. Hope that you will greet each other following the benediction and the response. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for this day, an opportunity to be together, to draw strength from the fellowship of one another, but Father, most of all, to draw strength from you, your presence with us as we've worshiped you. For it's in your precious Son's name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.